إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن الخير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I hope the new term has started and we have some new brothers and sisters with us today. If not, today's khutbah will be a reminder for everyone else. If so, then I would like to welcome our new brothers and sisters to Royal Holloway University. I'm actually not part of the university itself, but I'm an external khatib who comes once a month. And this khutbah that I give, what I'm about to give today, is the same khutbah that I've given in previous years at the start of the new academic year. So it will be familiar with many of you, and hopefully it will be new to some of you, and hopefully it will be a reminder to all of us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dinu nasiha, ad-dinu nasiha, ad-dinu nasiha," meaning the deen is advice. Nasiha, sincere advice. Sincere advice that one Muslim gives to his fellow brother or sister for their well-being. So my nasiha to my brothers and sisters today, particularly the new ones who have come and joined us, is the following. Obviously the thing on the forefront of most of our minds coming to university to study is to study, is to get a good education, is to do well and leave the educational establishment with a good degree or with a good master's or with a good doctorate. But some of us may have ulterior motives or secondary motives. And it may be for many of us who have come here, it is the first time that we have experienced some sort of freedom from our families. Some sort of freedom from our parents, from our siblings, from our uncles and our aunts and our greater local community back home. No one knows who you are here. You can invent yourself or reinvent yourself. Your alter ego could now materialize and you can become something that you may not be when you're at home. And this taste of freedom is exciting. It's exciting for many of us, especially when we're young, especially when we have so many emotions running through our bodies, so many feelings. It's a time to let our hair down perhaps. It's a time to experience life. And at a time in our lives when we're young and we have our strength and we have our faculties about us. And many of us may be reminding ourselves, YOLO. You know, when I first heard this term YOLO, I thought it was a character from one of the Star Wars movies. YOLO, you only live once. And this is kind of at the forefront of our minds, thinking, yeah, I only live once and I need to experience life. So we may be coming here now, freedom from parents, freedom from siblings, freedom from friends and family, maybe even freedom from responsibility. But one thing we must always remember, one thing that we must always keep at the forefront of our mind, is that we will never have freedom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His knowledge, His gaze is upon each and every one of us throughout our lives. There is nothing that we do, and there is nothing that we say, except that it is written in a clear record. There is nothing that passes by the scribes which sit on our left and right shoulders. There is nothing which passes by the gaze and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He reminds us Himself in the Qur'an, Hablil Wareed, He is closer to us than our jugular vein. Meaning what? He doesn't reside within us, but his knowledge is complete and perfect. The thoughts that we think, the feelings that we have, the desires, the wishes, the fears, are all known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we profess them or whether we don't. Whether we hold them deep, secret inside ourselves, or whether we write them at night time in our diaries. It is all known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is clear to Him. The intentions behind our actions are known to Him. So, the Muslim understands throughout his life, he has a responsibility to his Lord, to her Lord. That is the first primary responsibility. So whether I'm away from my parents, whether I'm away from my siblings, whether this is an opportunity to reinvent myself, really is neither here nor there. Because the reality is, from the day that I was born till the day I die, and thereafter, I am the slave of my Lord, and He is fully aware and fully acquainted with everything about me. There is nowhere that we can go that will protect us from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we live in the deepest caves of Bora Bora, or whether we are out in the open in the big cities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully acquainted with what we do and with what we say. And this is something that we're taught from a very young age as Muslims. Parents will be teaching their children, remember Allah. Always remember Allah. Because a time will come where I will not be with you. Your mother will not be with you. We will not be able to oversee what you're doing. We will not be able to advise you. But if you remember from a young age that wherever you go, whatever you do, and whatever you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you, then that, my dear son, that, my dear daughter, will be a good step in the right direction. Because that, in and of itself, will keep you upon the siratul mustaqim, the straight path. So we come to university, we reinvent ourselves, Muhammad becomes Mo, Imran becomes Imi, Bilal becomes Bill. And now it's time to show everyone this alter ego that we've been, you know, building up inside our lives for many years. And thinking that, you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's too many people. What I do, what I say, how I behave, hopefully it will go under the radar. Hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forget about me. Or maybe the thought of Allah doesn't even occur to us. Maybe we're that far gone, that far removed from ourselves and from our religion, that the thought of Allah doesn't even come to our minds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَتِرُونَ عَنْ يَشْهَدَ عَلَيْكُمْ سَمْعُكُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُكُمْ وَلَا جُلُودُكُمْ وَلَكِنْ ذَنَنْتُمْ عَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمُ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is a conversation that Allah will have with some of the wrongdoers, some of the evildoers, some of those who transgress their bounds, some of them who overstep the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will have this conversation with them on the Day of Judgment, when He will say to them, and you did not veil yourselves against the possibility that your own ears and eyes and skins would bear witness against you, but you thought Allah did not know much of what you used to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first part of the body which will testify on the Day of Judgment will be the left thigh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal the mouth, so the mouth will not be able to speak. And Allah will give ability to the organs, to the limbs of our bodies, and allow them to speak, and allow them to testify against ourselves or for us about how we lived our lives. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, and that was the evil thought that you entertained about your Lord, thinking that Allah doesn't know much about what I'm doing. I'm slipping under the radar. Allah is unaware of what I'm doing, which has brought you to destruction. Ardaakum, destruction. You have become this day amongst those utterly lost. Khasirin. You are completely lost this day. So, this plan that we had of coming to university, having a bit of freedom, letting our hair down, YOLO instead of YODO, you only die once. This has led us to the destruction which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the book. And some of us may be even thinking, you know what, university, I'll experience life, and then after university I'll get married, I'll settle down, I'll go to the masjid, I'll wear hijab, I'll grow my beard, and everything will be fine. You know, we plot and plan against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As though somehow we know how long we're going to live. Somehow we know what the plans are for our future. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a very succinct hadith, he said, he drew in the dirt. He said, this is man. And these are his desires. These are his plans for his life. And in between comes death. Before he reaches his goals, before he fulfills his aspirations, death comes and takes him. So the Muslim, being aware of that, is always prepared for that meeting, is always prepared for that uninvited visitor, who requires no invitation, who does not waste but a moment except that he takes what belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslim is always prepared for that. The Muslim does not think that I have my life to live, I have many decades to live, I'm going to enjoy it now and worry about the consequences later. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 7 are under the shade of the throne of Allah on the day where there is no shade except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of those is the young man or the young woman who spends his life in the masjid, who spends their life remembering Allah, making dhikr of Allah. Because when you're young, you have so many desires, like I said, so many wants, so many feelings that you just want to give vent to all of them. And the reality is, there are 4 battles that a Muslim must always undergo in his life. Every day of our lives, we are undergoing one of these battles. It is either we are battling shaitan, either we are battling our nafs, our desires, our nafs, the soul which calls to evil, or we're battling our desires. We are always going through one of these battles. And the Muslim must ensure himself or herself to overcome and win over these battles. This is a constant battle throughout our lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in so many places in the Qur'an that wherever you go, whatever you do, Allah is watching over you. And that is paramount in the mind of the Muslim. He understands that he can never escape the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can never escape his knowledge and his sight. We understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely apart from his creation. He does not reside within his creation. And this is a matter of aqidah, and you know, as a side issue, we must understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not everywhere. He is not in everything. Allah clearly states in his book that he is above his arch. However, his knowledge and his sight is everywhere. He knows everything that we do, he sees everything that we do, and his knowledge is complete over everything that we do. And it's not just us, but it's all of mankind. He is aware of all of mankind, not just mankind. He is aware of all of his creation. There is not a single molecule in the heavens and the earth, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it. A molecule. Except that he, not only did he create it, but he sustains it, and he is aware of it. So we are easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to manage. We are easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know about. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he addressed his companions, because remember, many of the companions were young. They were young men and women. He addressed his companions, he advised his companions, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood what was going through the heart and the souls of young individuals. So he would always give them good advice. He would always give them good nasiha to protect them. So he said one time to Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was a young boy, and this is how we should have a discourse with our children. We shouldn't always mollycoddle them and wrap them up in cotton wool and say, oh, they're only children. When they're young, yes, let them enjoy life, let them enjoy their childhood. But when they start to reach a particular age, we need to start instilling in them the virtues of a good Muslim human being. The characteristics of a good Muslim human being. And that starts at a very young age. So the advice that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives to Ibn Abbas, and this is narrated by Ibn Abbas himself, he says, one day I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to me, young man, I shall teach you some words of advice. The first thing he says is what? Be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. So the first piece of advice is be aware of Allah. Know that He is with you and there He is aware of everything that you do. And if you live like this, then you will find Him, that Allah will protect you and that you will find Him in front of you. Meaning that this journey that you're taking, the moments that you leave behind, every breath that you take, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leading you down the path of righteousness. If you are mindful of Him, what does being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean? Well, some of it means fulfilling the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us as Muslims. So Allah has obligated upon the Muslim the 5 daily prayers, the giving of the zakah, the fasting in the month of Ramadan, the going on the pilgrimage, being kind to parents, giving charity. These are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated upon the Muslims. So we fulfill the obligations. And furthermore, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden for us. So we keep away from those things that He has made forbidden for us. Meaning illegal sexual intercourse, drugs, drink, wasting one's time, and so on and so forth. These are the things that Allah has made forbidden for us. So the Muslim does what he is ordered, and he keeps away from what he has been forbidden. And this is what is meant by being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something really is the minimum requirement for every Muslim. So just a recap. The topic of today's khutbah is a advice that I would like to share with my new brothers and sisters who have come to the university for the first time, maybe in their first year, ready to set out, maybe having plans of their own, and a reminder to myself first and foremost, and a reminder to my brothers and sisters that we are never free from the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us as Muslims. So whatever plans we may have had when we started upon our journey to university, if they involved disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would respectfully ask my brothers and sisters to wipe them off your to-do list. Remove them from your to-do list. Because a day will come where you would wish that there was a huge distance between you and your sins. But on that day, your sins will be tied around your neck. So before that day comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, are you prepared to sacrifice an eternity for an enjoyment of a few moments? Because that's what really this life is. It is a few moments. Imagine a line that goes on for infinity. Difficult to imagine, but Just imagine a line which goes on for infinity, goes on and on and on and on. And cut that line. Cut it wherever you want to cut it. That is your life in this world. And what remains is your life in the next world. And eternity. Brothers and sisters, we will live for eternity in the next world. So we either live in eternity in bliss, in paradise, with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we live in eternity with the displeasure and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. May Allah protect us from that. The choice is ours. You know, we have people saying, you know, you imagine this line, and this, you know, your life is this short, and people are saying, well, in this part, I'm going to plan to do that. And that part, I'm going to plan to do this. But what about the rest of your life? What about this part and beyond? What are you preparing for that? Surely that is, the wise person understands that that's the planning. That's what I need to be planning for. Planning for my palace in paradise, which will never decay, which will never crumble. Its gutters will never leak. Its bricks are made of gold and silver. Its cement is musk. Gardens under which rivers flow. That's what I want to live for. That's what I'm preparing for. That is what my plan is. And this is what the wise person thinks. But the foolish person, like a young child, he thinks the now. Now. I need to satisfy my desires now. Forget the consequences later, but now is what is important. And we live in a society which is geared completely and utterly around fulfilling our desires. It's geared around entertainment. As though we were created to entertain ourselves. Wallahi, some of us will entertain ourselves to our graves. Never for a moment are we given respite to reflect upon our lives. To think about where we're going. Because the next port of entertainment is only round the corner. Everything. From the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, we're thinking, how am I going to entertain myself? What am I going to do to keep myself entertained? And entertainment is a form of drug. It's a form of escapism from the reality of our lives. And some of us, some of humanity, in fact, the majority of humanity doesn't have the luxury of entertainment. Because they don't even know when their next meal is coming from. We living here in the UK, alhamdulillah, many of us living in the West, we have that luxury. And unfortunately, we dine upon it every day. You know, we have the outer appearance, we have the beard, the topi, the clothes, the hijab, and we walk about, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam. We have the lingo, we have the dress. What's in the heart? Because this is what Allah will look at on the Day of Judgment, the heart. This is what will be examined. So we need to be prepared for that examination. So he says, be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you. If you ask, ask only of Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Thee alone do we worship and Thee alone do we ask for help. Understand that every problem you face in life, every difficulty you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ready and prepared to remove it from you, but you just have to ask Him. You have to turn to Him. Don't turn to creation. First and foremost, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask Him to remove your difficulty. You ask Him to enrich you. You ask Him to give you contentment. And then perhaps you can then seek this help from His creation. But first and foremost, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah has already prescribed for you. So know, and in another narration it says that if all of jinn and all of mankind were to get together to do you some good, no good would come to you unless Allah had willed it. Imagine all of creation coming together, All of the nations of men and jinn coming together to make you king of the universe. That would never happen unless Allah had written it for you. And likewise, he goes on to say, and that if they were to gather together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something Allah has already prescribed for you. So imagine, as in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one voice calling to La ilaha illallah, how the Quraysh got together to kill our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they came together to destroy his message. For years they strove hard against him and his followers. First just him, then the few band of followers that he gathered around him. Yet still they were unable to extinguish the light of Islam. Because Allah had willed it that he and his messenger will be victorious. They tried everything that they could to extinguish the light of Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God in his ultimate wisdom, had another plan. And it is always the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will be the one which comes into reality. So the Muslim understands this. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. So the Muslim understands this. That his life, his living, his sacrifice, his dying is all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creation is weak. No one in front of me, no one behind me, my parents are incapable of helping me unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed it. So my first port of call and my last port of call is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I wake up, I remember Him. When I go to sleep, I remember Him. In my living day, I remember Him. So when He calls you for dhuhr prayer, don't say I'm too busy. Don't say, oh, my boss won't give me time. When he calls you to fast in the month of Ramadan, don't say, oh, the days are too long, I can't be fasting 20 hours in the day. When he calls you for Hajj and you're capable of attending, don't say, oh, I don't have time. There are other things for me to do. But rush to the obedience of your Lord. Rather, we rush to his disobedience and we are slow to his obedience. And finally, the last piece of advice, and this is a very important piece of advice. Be careful of the company you keep. You're coming to university, you're going to be making new friends, new acquaintances. Make sure you select people who will be good for you, who will be good for your deen, who will be good for your akhirah. Not people who will make you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make you far removed from His book. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he equated the good companion and the bad companion. And he said, the good companion is like a perfume seller. That when you leave his presence, you leave smelling nice. By keeping good company, you learn so much just by watching people of good akhlaq, good character, good individuals. And the bad companion is like the blacksmith. Who, when you're in his company, he burns you with his sparks. And when you leave, you come out smelling of soot and smelling of smoke. So be careful who your companions are. Be careful who your friends are. Because you know what? This is an opportunity that Allah has given us. That we have left our bad friends perhaps. Back home. Now is a new opportunity. Now is for me to get involved with the Islamic society. Now is for me to get involved in learning Arabic or learning Quran or going to the study circles or trying to better myself to become a better Muslim. Not to find those individuals who are going to be taking me to the next Asian society rave or the Pakistani society this or and so on and so forth. But rather the person who's going to wake me up for Fajr and says, come on, let's go for Fajr. Or let's go to the Quran class. Or let's get ourselves involved in Charity Week, and so on and so forth. These are the types of people. And I will finish with a very beautiful story. Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimullah, he comments on the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, friends on that day will be enemies one to another, except al-muttaqoon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, those people who call themselves friends, those, yeah, he's got my back, I've got his back, we're cool. You know what I mean? This type of, no matter what he does, I'm covering him and he's covering me and we're going to lie for each other and we're going to do this with each other. On that day, they will be enemies. enemies one to another, except the muttaqun, except the righteous. And Hafidh Ibn Kathir, he relates a very beautiful story by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, in which he says, two who are friends for Allah's sake, one of them dies and is given the good news that and he will be granted al-Jannah. So he remembered his friend and he supplicated for him, saying, oh Allah, my friend used to command me to obey you and to obey your Prophet. And used to command me to do good and to forbid me from doing evil. And he told me, and he would remind me that I would one day meet you. Oh Allah, do not let him go astray after me until you show him what you have just shown me. Until you are satisfied with him, just like you are satisfied with me. So he is told, had you known what is written for your friend, would you have laughed a lot or would you have cried a lot? Then his friend dies and their souls are gathered and both are asked to express opinions about each other. So each one of them says to his friend, you are the best brother, the best companion and the best friend. Compare this to the following. And when one of the two disbelieving friends dies and is given tidings of hellfire, he remembers his friend and he says, oh Allah, my friend used to order me to disobey you and disobey your Prophet and commanded me to do evil and forbade me from doing good and told me that I would never meet you. Oh Allah, do not guide him after me until you show him what you have just shown me and until you are dissatisfied with him, just like you are dissatisfied with me. Then the other disbelieving friend dies and their souls are gathered and they are both asked to give their opinion about each other. Don't forget, these are people who had each other's backs in this world, who would spend their time together, who were like brothers, not only friendly brothers in friendship, but almost like blood brothers. And they will say, so each one of them will say to his friend, you are the worst brother, the worst companion, and the worst friend. So my dear brothers, respected brothers and sisters, those of you who have come, find yourself good company. Find yourself friends who will remind you to do good, who will remind you to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, do not ask about the man, but rather ask about his friends. Because the man will be like his friend. And your friend, your companion, is your mirror image. If you see good in him, then bi-idhnillah ta'ala, there is good in you. And if you see evil in him, it is only a simple reflection of you that you see. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Qim as-salah.